From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rat, boys and girls. It's the end of it. Why do all years go faster when you're older? I'll have to ponder that. This is Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains, covered in glorious snow, in the town of Poprad in eastern Slovakia. The place to come if you want to come skiing over a holiday break and enjoy some very cost-effective stuff and things. And you could see me as well. Well, maybe not. Over in...
Gay Paris.
Gay Paris. No, I wasn't going there first. I was going to the zit on the nose of Europe.
Sorry.
Namely, the United Kingdom, as it once was known. Not anymore. It's none other than Lee Banks.
Thank you very much. Didn't we forget I existed, Mark?
Well, I'm terribly sorry, but I mean, we're a bit ahead of you, actually.
You just jump in. My grave's open if you want to jump in there as well.
That's all right, Mark. Don't tell him that we're going to do New Year before him.
As a plug for Coast Hunter, we are.
Yes, we are.
In fact, I see that in New Zealand they've already done it.
Have they?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's nothing like
to move there.
Maybe nothing like doing it in New Zealand. Which reminds me, must say hi to Paul. Paul in New Zealand, who listens
Paul
to... He's Paolo, really, who listens to us in New Zealand whilst driving around his farm in his tractor.
Paolo. That's like Luke in India, who's known as Luca.
Well, that's right, because that's what...
Yeah, it's Luca and Paolo. Maybe you want to get together, boys.
Stop it. And in Gay Paris, as he beautifully and eloquently puts it... It is none other than Mark Gander.
Hello there.
Hello.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you very much indeed. Let's start off with loads of mischief. We've got so much to get through this particular programme, as it's the last one of 2010. Hi, dear RTI and dear Eric. I'd like to say Happy Christmas and Happy New Year to you, and also say hi to some special family in Spiska. Yaquiem, that's from Livia. Livia's family's in Spiska, and Yaquiem meaning thank you. Paul Bedford says Happy New Year to everybody at RTI. Message from Sam says...
Who is this, Sam?
I have no idea, but I'm sure he's a wonderful person. He's in Shropshire.
Tell him, quite genuinely, I am 1.5 miles up the road from Shropshire.
Yes.
If he wants to come in and say hello to his family over... We can.
Okay, then. I'm sending a very big Vaseli Vianozza to my wife, Jana, and daughter, Janulik, who live in Blok Madja. I'll be with you soon. Love from Daddy. So there, hi, Jana and spouse, who's over
and
in Pop... And Sam, of course, who's coming over to Poprad, and Daddy will be with you soon. Slavka says, may you and the rest of the team have a lovely new year. I'm sure we will. Some of the quickie messages have come from... Slavka from Terry Boyle, Paul Burney, Leo Sat, who's in the USA, Luke de Grot, who's in Belgium, Farouk, who's in Pakistan. Hi there, that's a long way away. Ladislav Novotny, Martin the Duke Ward, Alexander Landsberg Vellen, who's in Germany. All these guys have said Happy New Year to us. Martin O'Brien, Lydia Tahu Waters, a couple of other bits in. One from Jenna. No surprises there then. Dear Eric, as neither of us are getting younger. Thank you. What a way to start an email.
Eric, let me interrupt.
Uh-huh.
While you do this, I'm just going to go and get my list.
Because you've forgotten it again.
I forgot it's in the other room. I'll be back in a second. This is professionalism at its best, Mark. You could learn from this.
I'm learning all the time.
I'm on my way.
We need to, apparently, according to Jenna, be more stricter in losing those kilos or stop putting them on. I'm swimming 5 days a week. My word. And I wish I had Aqua City just up the road from me, but I don't. How often do you use it? Not as often as I should do, and the chairman is always nagging me to go and use it more, but I don't. Local doctors still don't understand about the principles of diet. No, actually, mine here are quite good, actually, to be quite honest. And then Jenna goes on to explain how conserved jams can put on the pounds. And apparently Jenna likes ginger jam. Ooh, and tried that, have you? No?
Well, I haven't tried ginger jam, but I do like ginger, and I'll bet you it's great in jam.
I bet it is, actually.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of ginger. See how the timing was perfect out for my return, man.
It wasn't bad, actually. Jenna remembers that I love Marmite.
Oh, Marmite.
Oh, it's lovely. Oh, yeah. It's so yummy. And we can buy it here now, so it's wonderful. Anyway, Happy New Year to you, Jenna. And she says, thanks to you, Ducky. All right.
Also, you said that just now?
A little while ago, yes. Peter Ulrich and Tarina have just joined us on Skype. Lee's put together the top 10 stories in 10 seconds. See if I can do it.
Are you doing it?
No, you're doing it. In 10 seconds, starting from now.
The BP oil spill. All the tension in Korea. The earthquake in Haiti. Violence in Greece, Pakistan floods,
stop.
Chile
you've,
at minus.
That's it, too long. You took too long.
It's because I messed up 80, wasn't it?
Was a bit really, wasn't it? Before we get onto some of the serious news items in a minute, quick feature from Lee, which is apparently called the dead list for 2010.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? I think this is so sad, honestly, yeah.
Oh, I'll let you two lovies do this bit.
You what, dear?
I'll let you two lovies do this bit.
Right. Yeah, Blake Edwards directed Pink Panther. The bloke, yeah, I'll sing this one.
What?
The bloke out of Boney M.
Oh, that's right.
By the rivers of Babylon.
Yeah, but he never sang. He had to do it silently.
I know.
He was just a dancer, isn't he? Wasn't he?
In a Russian hotel.
In St. Petersburg.
Tom Bosley of Happy Days. He also appeared in Murder, She Wrote.
Happy Days. Hey, the fans.
Respectful for the dead, isn't it?
No, because they should be remembered in a positive way.
Yeah, let's remember in a positive way.
Yes.
Tony Curtis, the Defiant Ones. Some Like It Hot. What an actor. What a gorgeous man. What an incredible character.
What was that TV show?
Left this earth.
Tony Curtis was in... Was it the... what was that famous TV show in the 70s?
Oh, Despot and Link Loop or something.
What?
Tony Curtis was in that? He wasn't in
that.
Yeah, he was
in that. I used to watch that a lot. Yeah, I've got his signature. It says from Despot.
Yeah, right. Anyway,
back to the death spot.
Oh, you're not going to do this one, are you?
Eddie Fisher, why?
Oh.
Why?
Oh.
Eddie Fisher, listen, he's diddled Elizabeth Taylor.
Do you know what he's...
He diddled her.
Are you on about...
Really? Debbie Reynolds. He diddled Debbie Reynolds.
Are you on about the man with the golden trumpet?
That's not Eddie Fisher. He must have had a golden trumpet if he managed to diddle all them. Anyway. Eddie Fisher didn't have a golden trumpet, did he?
I don't know.
Well, he had a pink oboe.
Oh, okay.
He had a golden Venezuela. That's the one.
Here's one to get going.
All together now. A whim away, 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 a whim away.
Cut! In the jungle, the mighty jungle. Have you stopped?
Yes, because you started.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, that was embarrassing. Okay. I was just doing Mighty Jungle.
Yes, thank God there's no karaoke from you over here tonight.
Anyway, he's dead as well, George Vice.
Oh, that's a shame.
Now, here's really bad ones. Ones that are real... God, Gary Coleman. Who's Gary Coleman?
I have no idea.
Different strokes.
Oh, he was a little kid, wasn't he? He played a little kid.
Ah, that's tragic, man. Dennis Hopper. Now, there you have an... I've got to hold my hands up. As a news hound, I didn't know Dennis Hopper had died. But what a tragedy that is. Poor old Dennis. Oh. You know, he had one of the most startling careers in Hollywood ever.
Of course! It was Born to be Wild! That's the one. It's on my phone somewhere.
Or in Eric's case, Born to be Mild!
Yeah, right. I am mild and caring and considerate and compassionate. Yes, right. Right, there's...
Who's Linkletter? Art Linkletter? Who's he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
he was the...
he used to do Kids Say the Darndest Things. Well done, Art.
Mm.
Right, national tragedy, Polish president, Lech
Kaczywinski,
got killed in a track. That was awful.
That was awful.
Robert Culp, by secret agent, Robert Culp died. Oh, no. Mystery writer and a famous jockey as well, because he was only little, you see.
Yeah.
Dick Francis, he's dead.
Do you know, I've never, ever read a Dick Francis book.
I don't think I have, to be honest, you know.
No, me neither. But was it this year? I thought it was the year before. Oh, it was quite early on.
February 14th, 2010. Don't check.
Happy Valentine for him. Yes.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Oh, God. Everybody everybody go and make a cup of tea, because he's going to go wittering on like some art-lovey critic for the next 5 minutes.
I'm just going to say that J.D. Salinger was probably one of the world's... If he wasn't one of the world's greatest writers, he was one of the world's greatest recluses. He was a man who changed the face of American literature in such a way that his royal bobness was actually asked to appear in a film about him and refused
For what?
Hello? Hey?
Hello? What happened there, then?
Hello? What happened? Did you cut me off?
No.
I think Skype just died, actually.
Yeah, what, again? We were talking about that the other day on the television, which I'll come to later. Anyway, here comes the serious bits. 2010 gave us the most connected year for the world so far. Facebook and Twitter gaining more power than television or newspapers.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is already misleading you and using propaganda and unfair tactics to try and score points about something that he knows that he is about to lose.
Ah, okay. Probably the best film of the year, which was seen by many as being The Social Network. I've not seen it yet. A look at the rebels behind Facebook, as well as the young Mark Zuckerberg. Has anybody seen the movie yet?
Nope. And that's what happens with social networking, isn't it? As soon as you start to charge for it, nobody joins in. Millions of people on social networking, charge a fiver to go and see a film about it, nobody turns up. There's your clue.
I think you're quite right, I have to say. I think people are really used to getting everything for free on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be very interesting to see whether they manage to get away with charging money for news online nowadays. I think it might be
a disaster.
Charging for news for centuries, dear. Nothing has changed. You're all wrong. You're all very silly and don't understand this world.
We'll come on to that in a minute.
For centuries.
Yeah, that's why it's not selling anymore. Apple's Steve Jobs and the iPad, a computer that you cuddle up to, a bit like the old days of a newspaper or a book. Note the thing, old days, Apple. The iPod changed the world for music, but what did the iPad do?
No, but in this cybernetic world of androids and weirdos, right, people don't cuddle up to computers, mate. They cuddle up to the dogs or to the wives, which could be the same thing. But or friends or family or anything. Cuddle up to people, not up to computers.
So why is it then that there's this ruddy grey advert on the wonderful, excellent, expat, brilliant Sky News, where they've got this very morning an advert for an iPad with the Times?
Have they?
Yes.
What, they're giving it away, are they?
Well, probably giving away the Times, yeah.
one or the other.
And they've got, advert. Well, you're saying it's, you know, it's the right thing. You like your newspaper, but the advert on the television this morning from the Times newspaper is on an iPhone. They weren't advertising the printed copy.
Do you want me to start?
They weren't advertising. It wasn't me that was doing this. Don't start. And some say 2010 was the second industrial revolution, courtesy of the net or the interweb.
I also have to point out, ladies and gentlemen, that his actual words were some say.
Yes.
Not everybody says. No. Not the majority say. Some say. Some people have said it. Probably Eric and his mates down Georgie's bar in Poprad last night. Oh, that's a good idea. They'll change them. George says. Yeah. Right.
When something, I will continue. When something was important to people, it was an instant hit on YouTube and was seen by millions. Often those millions not watching the same on television.
Yeah, but Eric, there's the problem.
What?
What they saw on YouTube was amateur dross. And people are getting to think that amateur dross is all this world's about. Amateur dross. Right. People doing psychedelic farts because they put talcum powder up
What was that program?
That's funny. That That's not funny. We stopped doing that when we were 10.
What was that program in the 80s where they had the revolutionary... the revolutionary lad who wore the French Parisian-style hat.
Who?
Oh, David Shillington you're talking about.
No. It was Citizen Smith... Yeah.
Citizen Smith.
Yeah. This is the first
New Age idiot to enter this world. What a jerk!
Yeah, listen, this whole business of new technologies, sort of, you know, giving sort of more power to ordinary people and so forth, has been going for a long time.
It takes it away from them.
Why? How does it take it away?
It's got no credibility. Absolutely no credibility. Mm. Wikipedia, go and check Wikipedia. What do you want to do? Wikipedia will tell you everything that's wrong about it. Mm. Check the news sites. There's no control over the news sites. There is no credibility, and that's why the Times...
Yeah, nobody's talking about control. The fact is that this is the new style of journalism, and it starts
there
from things
no
like...
new style of journalism.
Yes, there is. There's a kind of realism, realism TV, realism radio.
There is journalism, and then there is amateurism. You are vaunting amateurism like most people who don't know what they're talking about.
Not at all. Why? Not at all. Look at things like Candid Camera, which started, 40 years ago?
50 years ago,
which is basically just having a camera looking at the antics of ordinary people. Mm-hmm. You go on to, for instance, the way that photography blogs are all over the place now, because it's become so easy with digital.
Lives. People are affected by what happens in journalism.
You're going to have high blood pressure in a minute.
I think they're losing sight of it, Lee. And let me say, I'm not out of sympathy with you at all, but I don't think it's new. It's been going on for a long time.
Your world doesn't change my world. My world changes your world.
Hey,
I don't think it does anymore.
No, I don't think so either. I think if you've been arguing this, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a newspaper story as an absolute categorical example of this.
Yes,
where 20 years ago, if in the UK the Sun newspaper, ahead of a general election, said, vote for Lee Banks, Lee Banks would be the new Prime Minister. Absolute fact. If you did it today and said, vote for Lee Banks, they go...
In the meridian of reality.
They'd go, yeah, and? Because it doesn't work anymore. They haven't got the power. They haven't got the clout because people are fed up with newspapers.
Who got Corporal Clegg and Mrs. Cameron in them? Facebook?
But they stood a bet. Yes, absolutely. Probably did. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So who did the Sun say to vote for then?
I've no idea, Eric. I didn't follow it. I didn't care about that particularly. Mm. All I know is that every newspaper in the country wanted Gordon Brown out. And that is ultimately what we got. We got rid of Corporal
Brown.
And we got somebody in who can no longer, who's proved himself within days. We have become... I tell you what, Isle Vaughan, Slovakia.
Oh, dear. This is complete nonsense to pretend that the journalism profession is still, if you like, sort of the guardians of information. I mean, obviously, you know, sort of formal journalism has got a huge part to play and did in the last election. But all of the MPs, all of the candidates were Facebooking, were tweeting and so forth, and that he had a huge amount to play. And in fact, the journalists were reporting what they said on those social networking mediums.
I will give newspapers
information that just is around. A minute.
Newspapers disseminate information.
As long as I get time for a straightforward answer.
Hold on a minute, Lee.
Do you consider
Lee, stop.
Kind of journalistic merit at all?
Hang on, no one's going to hear this.
I didn't get it.
It's not going to work, Lee. The one thing that newspapers were very, very good at the last UK general election was reading the mood of the people around them, their readers, and printing stories that actually were no more than blowing smoke up the backside of their own readers.
What do you want me to say to that?
But it's the truth.
You say it's the truth, so it's the truth. I'll accept that Eric says it's the truth, therefore it's the truth. I would actually like to go back to sort of the editors of the newspapers who decided what they wanted to do. There was a very fine line between what was real and what was wrong with this country and who was going to be able to cope. So there was no great definition between who was going to vote for who and who was going to vote for who else. And newspapers walked that line because nobody knew what was going to happen to this country. As it's turned out, this country has been turned into chaos. The simple fact is, and this is why I want to ask Mark.
I'll tell you what, you ask Mark the question now, and I'll shut up for a minute. Let's get this debate going.
Right.
Do you believe, Mark, that what you do has any journalistic merit at all?
No, not at all.
Then I rest my case. I believe that everything I do has some journalistic merit, and I know what I'm talking about. Newspapers will continue, and it's the fact that people like yourself, with the greatest of respect, have moved into an area which is classed as a form of citizen journalism, and even the people who do it admit.
There's a way round.
Well, no. I don't think we've ever classed ourselves as citizen journalism. And you know,
what else are you? If you're not citizen journalism, nothing.
Excuse me. Saying to me, what else are we? Is basically shows that you're the one who's trying to describe us as citizen journalists. You're trying to define us in that way, and then say we're not. What we are actually is we're a pretty good citizen information centre. Okay, and considering the amount of information we carry and that we've built up in a very small amount of time, I think we've got a very large amount of it, which is sort of pretty accurate. But we're not journalists because we don't fact check.
How many times do you want to rest my case for me? You don't check facts. You don't call yourself journalist. You don't have any professional background.
Well,
That's exactly right. But I mean, nobody was saying that we were. And I mean, this whole debate has been really about the influence on information coming from the general public on, if you like, sort of the public consciousness over a long period of time. And I don't think the debate has ever been what you're trying to say it is.
No, I don't either. And I think the answer to the question is not in our hands anyway.
Of course it isn't.
No, answer to the question is actually in the hands of consumers right now, because if they don't subscribe to online newspapers, or they continue to decline buying print newspapers, that's the answer. It's not up to us at all.
Eric, there's going to continue to be a decline in terrestrial newspapers, the things you buy on street corners, because there are so many other ways to get it. If we're going to be sensible about it, here's my argument is very simple. That we are, or newspaper journalists generally, are the professionals within the art of disseminating news.
Within the information business.
And newspapers fell behind, as they did with computers and when television came in. Newspapers fell behind at each step. Each industrial revolution, like the Paxton Press, the television, computers and the internet, newspapers, by the nature of the beast, fell behind. Now they're picking up. And they are getting into that world, and they're fighting back, and they're fighting back well. You look at the Sunday Times site or the Times site. It's beautiful. And the fact that you've got to pay for news on their site is a good thing, because you've always paid for news because you trusted generally what appeared in newspapers.
Well, that's why I stopped buying newspapers in the 70s, because I didn't trust them.
Well, that's a personal decision. It's not just mine. I didn't make you stop buying newspapers. It was your decision.
No. If you ask across Europe, Lee, you're wrong. Because the EU studies on all of this say the most trusted medium across Europe is radio.
I'm sure it is, and I couldn't agree with you more.
And the least trusted is print.
That's just propaganda, Eric.
How can it be?
Hang on, what daily product that you either have to go to a shop to buy, right, and you bring it home with you in the morning, you sit there and you read it and look at it for an hour and a half, right, you do that. Mm-hmm. How many other products are there that sell? There are 60 million people in this country. And I'm not doing readership, Eric, I'm doing sales. Mm. Newspapers now generally sell something like 24 million in Britain, right? 24 million copies on a daily basis of a newspaper. Mm. That's over a third of the population.
Right.
Still buy it.
Yeah.
But there you have it. Lots of people go on the internet. The problem is, Eric, what we're saying, which Mark quite bravely admitted to, is the fact that a lot of the information you get on the internet has not been checked, is not factually correct, has no great legal precedence to be there or anything. And what's happening, newspapers are coming back into the world of the dissemination.
Well, you know what you should do? You should be an absolute journalist on this, Lee. Go to the 70s. You be the journalist. Go to the 70s. And find out what percentage of the population bought a newspaper in the UK. Do the same in the 80s, the same in the 90s, and the same
Hang
in
on,
this...
While you're talking, I'm going to have a go to see if I can do it.
You're going to go on the internet to try and find out.
Honestly, here's the facts. I have actually given you the facts as written down on what newspaper sales are in Britain. And there's more, actually, because it doesn't take into consideration... These are only paid-for copies. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take into consideration free newspapers. I would suggest that at least still half the population of Britain...
That's fine, but it's not the majority anymore. And in the 70s, I would suggest to you...
Well, it isn't the majority, no, but it's pretty damn close.
I would suggest to you in the 70s and 80s, it was probably 80% of the country, if not 90%.
Of course it was, because there wasn't anything there else. We didn't have to compete, and that's what I'm saying. We're lazy. Journalists are lazy. And now we're coming back.
So anyway, journalists are checking stuff, but they're lazy. Interesting thoughts.
I'd like to come in now, please, because I'd like to say that I think that, Lee, what you're saying here confirms what I've said earlier, and that is that for a long time, changes in technology have allowed journalists to become lazy in this way and to use the results of amateurs. So just to go back, talking about candid camera, talking about you've been framed, talking about reality TV, and quite frankly, it's just become more and more drivel and more rubbish.
Yeah, but reality TV.
Excuse me, let me say that if the journalists can start to tighten up their act and start to return to quality and give us something worth paying for, I'll be very pleased to pay for it, because I don't see anything wrong with that. But I have to say that I think over the past few years, thanks to the kind of technology that's been existing, I think we've been treated to tat.
Well, actually, I don't disagree with
you. And it's from your profession. We're just the customers.
Basically, in a way, I agree with you that I've already said quite openly that every time there is a sea change in technology or in some kind of industrial revolution, newspapers take a back seat and fall down the rankings, then come back. You know, and the simple fact is, Mark, with the greatest of respect, honestly, newspapers give the public what they demand. And that is exactly what people are demanding, because the simple fact is newspapers have to sell like any other business.
So if they're demanding that, Lee, why are the sales going down?
Because it's being disseminated in different ways. We are now accepting that the paper newspapers that you read, things that are made out of newsprint, mm-hmm. aren't going to be the future, aren't going to be. They are an anachronism now. They'll still continue to sell for 20, 30, 40 years, but that market will come down. All I was saying before you all attack me, right, is that, now, you have sites like the Sunday Times, you have sites like the Times, which are good journalistic sites. And the difference is, we're all saying, oh, you've got to pay for it, though. You've always had to pay for it, mate.
On that happy note, we'll have to say the end of part one on Postcard from Potbread, modern technology, bringing you the news debate that they would never happen in a newspaper because it's too out of date.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.